Lord. All the different things that are going on in the world, Father, the world's falling apart, but your bride's going to be caught up in the clouds and be moved over into another dimension. This world's going to be in turmoil. Lord, today we don't want a person be left behind. We want everyone to go with us, Lord. So I pray that we diligently then, Lord, seek you. Hold fast, persevere. Lord, even though it looks bad, clouds and all the different things, storms of life, but Lord, there is a sun that's shining. And Lord, may you shine down upon us today, Lord. Give us the words of eternal life for your people. Father, thank you for all the ones that are here. And Brother Michael being developed, Lord, is coming up to having an anointing there to teach Sunday school class. Father, we pray that you just be with him, be with each one, Lord. Heal the sick. Bless the ones that are not here, Lord, the ones that are traveling, different ones. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Who is this Son of Man, part 51? John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Give them a minute, they'll get it up there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among, there you go. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, as we've been talking, I want you to understand, that is you. Amen. That is your flesh being made Word. Amen. All right? Now, remember, it didn't come Word form. Bob's going to have to quit what he's doing. He just got to stop. Just don't do it no more. We'll let somebody else teach Sunday school. Because I was sitting back there, and I was thinking, I thought, well, now, how can I take that theophany from a ball of light and bring it down into us? And then, of course, he puts it on the screen. That's God, because we don't discuss that. That's God that does that. So we must need that. We must need it. When a teacher goes down a line or somebody goes down a line and they haven't discussed, yet they all fit together, then that's needful for all of us. That was needful for me and everyone else. Amen? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Because remember, we haven't seen the Father, but the Father was displayed in the Son. And now the Son is being displayed in what? In the bride. All right? Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We'll stop right there and you can be seated. Lord, add his blessings. We're going to cover that a little bit further, about this measure of faith, because every age had a measure of faith. Everybody is not going to have to come to the body change, because there's people that there's thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands and probably millions of people, bride, that are laying in a grave somewhere, that their body's already pretty much rotted and gone and turned into dust, but there's a soul over in a dimension somewhere that's waiting on me and you to come to some place of perfection. They came to perfection in the soul. Yes. They got the perfect love. They got the agape love under their church age messenger. Right. I'll read it in just a second, remember. The Holy Ghost in every age, it goes to the messenger, messenger, and then we live it. We'll read it in just a minute. But let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, well, that's pretty good, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Remember, the prophet of God tells us that Satan can pass out supernatural gifts. All right, so be careful. If you're looking for gifts, I thought the Bible says signs follow the believer. So the signs are behind you. They're following you through your life. You're the one that's blazing the trail. You're the one that's the God in front of those gifts. They won't work without you. But let's don't seek for them. Let them follow us. All right? So Brother Brown says, signs follow the believer. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. This is a pretty good guy. This is the message believer. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, what does charity mean? That's not giving out food. That's not taking care of the poor. In this case right here, we take that as charity. But look, the Bible tells us it's agape love. Amen. All right, which is that love at the top of the pyramid, but you got to have it at the bottom. Yeah. to begin with, all right? Brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. Not the love you have for your wife, not the love you have for your brother, not the love. Now, you need to have agape love for your brother. Got me? But that's not the lustful love that you have for your wife. And you say, yeah, well, that's what it is. Filial love is the love you have at its own condition, whether you love me or not. If you don't love me, I ain't going to love you. But Brother Branham says that's not agape love. Agape love is you love them anyway. Love those who despitefully use you. Love those who are against you. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. It's easy to love somebody that's just, oh, you're so good and you're so great. But when somebody says, I got an issue with you, and you're like, well, what is it? No, we're going to see temperance, patience, all up the statue of perfect man in just a little while if we ever get to it. But I want to make sure, I was praying a couple of days ago, I said, Lord, I want to make sure everybody's born again. If you're not born again, you will not understand what I'm talking about. And let me tell you something. As I said before, God's grace is good. God's arm is long, as Sister Gail used to say. God's arm is long, amen, but there's an end to it. God's not a greasy grace God. He's not a God. He's a God of justice. Amen. He's a God that says, all right, I've given you the word. I've given you somebody to talk to you about it. I've given you an opportunity to get it. And if you don't get it, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get judgment. Amen. And you know who the problem is? You. Amen. You're the one that's going to make the tribulation period. God's not going to make you make the tribulation period. You're going to make it yourself. Right. I got myself a note. Think about this as we go along. Put your faith in what? Put your faith in what? What are you putting your faith in? Your job? Brother Suresh. Up at Brother Dutch Scott's. Worked for this company for years and years and years. Made real good money. They walked in one day and said, we're doing away with your job. He's had to start all over, and he's 50 years old probably. Got a wife with cancer. Hello? You going to put your faith in that? You going to put your faith in your car? You going to put your faith in your family? You better put your faith in God. And we'll talk about it a little bit more this afternoon. Because we've got to hone this faith thing down. Well, I believe in, you better be careful. There's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. All right, one, not many faiths. It is the faith of the Son of God. So there's only one thing we can put our whole being into, and I'll read it to you in just a minute, where Brother Brown says, faith's final resting place is where? In the Word of God. Not in a study book. Not in James Dobson. Not in Good News for Modern Men. It's in God. And your faith, listen to me, you got up this morning and put your faith in that you're going to learn something from God today when you come to church. Not that you're going to just show up because I'm going to talk about you if you don't. Praise God anyway. I probably will. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not telling you what my idea of this whole thing is. If you don't go to church, you're lost. Period. I don't care who you are. You show me in the Bible where you can go to church every once in a while. Show it to me. If we're going to put faith's final resting places in the Word of God, then whatever that Word of God says, listen, we've been restored back. We're not to where we don't know if there's three gods or one, or we don't know if hell's eternal, or we don't know where we're going. We know these things. And knowing these things, I come to church like coming to school. Some of y'all didn't like going to school. That's okay. But I did. You know why? Because I wanted to learn something. So if you got the Holy Ghost wants to learn. I'm going to read it to you in a minute where God said he's going to put the teacher in. When he puts the teacher in, it draws you to being taught. By what? The Word of God. And you're just an unbeliever if you don't come to church. Period. Don't fool yourself. I was reading a quote a few minutes ago. Brother Bram said, let's not fool ourselves. If you're lost, just say I'm lost. Because you know what? He will go by your confession. Well, I'm saved because mama was saved. I'm saved because daddy was saved. I listened to two tapes back in 1995. I ought to be all right. No, you ain't all right. It's got to be something where you want to come to church. You want to listen to God. You don't want. Brother Bram said, you know what he said one time? He said, we don't want to come to church to see each other. He said, if you want to talk to your brother and fellowship with him, he said, do it outside. That's why we don't talk in the church and carry on conversations like denomination. They just get up and start talking about everything in the world in the congregation. No, we come in here to what? Push all that out. Let the devil be uncomfortable being in here. Let God be so much in here that he just don't want to be here. But you got to be born again. Have faith and be born again. Not have faith and just say, well, I got to be saved. Why? No. I pray every day. Brother Dale's 82 years old. He prays every day for the Lord to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Because he always has. And that's the same thing with us. Lord, fill me up. If I'm not saved, save me. Because that's my confession. But if I walk in and say, well, bless God, I've got it all. It's all right here. I'm up there at the top. And everything's fine. I'm just good. You're in for some issues. I was going to say something else, but you're in for some issues. Right? Amen? So we just need to be sober. Humble. Going up the statue of perfect man will humble you. Revelation will humble you. It will not make your head swell up. Because why in the world would something eternal give you that revelation? That's the way I look at it. Why did you give it to me, Lord? Why? You didn't have to. But you did. You gave me the new birth. You know why? Because I wanted it. I wanted to get out of the filth of this world. So we have to go through our stages, and we've been through this over and over again, but like I said before, I want somebody born again. I want somebody that wants the Word of God more than they want to eat. Yes, sir. Some of us are not showing that. But I can eat and love God too. Amen? And all of us says? Amen. Amen. But put your faith in what? You going to put your faith in the doctors? All they have is a book. That says this. And you know what it says on the front of it? Practice. Right? You go see a doctor. You go see him at his practice. God has never in his life practiced. He's always been right. He's always made the right decision. And he's standing there going, hey, I've got this book right here that doesn't say practice. It says holy. Bible. And it's the eternal word of God written before the foundation of the world. He said, just go by it. That's our issue. We just don't go by it. All of us. Somebody I was talking to the other day. You know, the denomination of the world, there's people out there that are good people. They love God as much as they can. And they're in a system, though, that they can't get everything they need. Brother Brown said they can't get all the way out. They get out so far. And they can't get all the way out. But you and I don't have that excuse. You and I are at a place, a position, right now, today, to understand it from Genesis to Revelation. And not have a problem with what the Bible says. Amen? Not have a problem, I said, with what the Bible says. About everything. Raising your kids. Dressing right. Eating right. Doing right. Coming to church. Respect. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have what? Received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit, what? That we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. We're going to cover some of that this afternoon. Listen, if Jesus was God, right? He is God, right? Right? Is that right? Amen. Jesus is God. Not a second person. Then if so be, if we're joint heirs with God, that makes us God. That's too close. No, it's not close enough. I told you we've become a bunch of tunist people where it's bride and Christ. We got to see one. When God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, he saw one person. And her name was Adam before the fall. The only separation was when she did what she did and God had to pull her apart, not pull her out of Adam, but pull her apart from the from what he's told them to do and set her over here and put her under different conditions, all right? I was asked that question the other day at work. They were talking about the Methodist Church. You know, the Methodist Church is splitting now because they're wanting to have gay gay preachers or whatever they call them, priests, gay pastors, and women. And it doesn't matter if you're a woman or gay or if you're gay or gay. And they said, well, what's wrong with that? I said, don't ever ask me that question again. It all began in Genesis. Well, that's the Old Testament. I said, let's go to the New Testament. And Paul said, I tell you by the word of the Lord, a woman's not supposed to speak in church. You're not supposed to have anything to do. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. That's, you know why our problem is? We try to usurp Christ. Somebody say amen. We try to usurp authority over Christ. Well, we don't believe everything in here. We don't have to do everything you tell us to do. Right? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Listen, we want to get out of here. We got to get all the T's dotted and the I's. T's crossed, I's dotted. Amen? We good? I fixed that. Huh? Some did. Some was like, okay. I'm like Brother Dale, but he never did it, but he said he was going to do it. He's going to come up here and just preach something false off the wall and nobody, and see how many people's going to amen it. That still may be in the arsenal. All right, so we got to start somewhere. So we started justification. We go to justification, which is what? Is asking God to forgive you of your sins.
Yes.
I mean that whole pile load that you had back in B.C. before Christ. Amen? And if you're asking him, really asking him, he's going to put it in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. You're going to remember it. The devil's going to remember it, but you're not going to remember. I mean, God's not going to remember it. Thank God. So with those who he has justified, he's already glorified. If he's justified you and you continue on, continue on. Hold fast. Persevere. Hold fast means to grab on to and hold on. Hold fast, not just hold. No, hold fast. Brother Bram, I got a quote back there. Brother Bram said, put a death grip on it. Put a death grip on it. Have you ever had, put a death grip on that thing. Think of that.
Well, I just don't know if I don't know if I'm making it or not. That's a real death grip.
Have you ever held something so dear in your life to where you did have a death grip on it? I mean, you're not getting this. This is mine. Well, that's what God told us to do, didn't he? Hold fast. Persevere. Have faith. And be born again. Sanctification, we're talking about the soul now, where the unclean spirit goes out. And we'll read a quote here in just a minute, and I put several together this afternoon where God, listen, God is not in your soul along with the devil. Can't happen. Everybody good with that? You become two souls. Well, I got this eternal seed. Where is it? It's not in your soul. Where's this unclean spirit leaving from? Your soul. So it resided in your soul. You either faith or doubt. Now, is God doubt?
No.
Is God faith?
Yes.
One of the two, not both.
That's right.
In your soul today, if you're not born again, your soul's black as soot. And you're lost. Now listen, you might be on your way. You might be heading up the ladder. You might be justified. Even coming to sanctification, that unclean spirit's going to go out. But listen, like we're going to talk about in just a little while, faith without works is dead. Faith without showing it, you don't have faith. Let the thing loose. As I said before, one of these days, you're going to have to let it loose. You're going to prove who you are one way or the other. Now, he said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. Now, this is in sanctification. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down, or he can't even live with you. So I put my faith in that God sanctified me. Did you?
Amen.
Have you put your faith in that God justified you, forgave you of all your sins, got rid of all that?
Yes, sir.
If you don't, then you're doubting. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Is there any doubt in God?
No.
No. All right, there's no doubt in God. So you're either faith or doubt. And if you've got the new birth, what you've done is you've come through a process of believing. He did justify me. He did sanctify me. Got all that smoking, drinking, cussing. Just make your laundry list. That's not at the new birth. That's at sanctification. Because those unclean spirits can come back in because, you know what? The hole's not filled up. It can come back in and make you worse. What? Set you in the message church and, I got my hair long. And some of you. I got my dresses not tight. Some of you. Preach. I believe it will. I ain't never in my life seen it. If y'all can't look over and look at your wives and look at your kids and see that they are living like the world and the dresses is so tight, you can't hardly pull them off of their body, you need the new birth. You need the new birth. And you women, you wives, I'm telling every one of you, next time I see skin hanging out where it shouldn't be, like there's a top with a dress on and they don't meet, me and you going to have a talk. But I'm going to your husband first. I saw it too much last weekend. I ain't saying no more. All right, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the issue right there. If you got the Holy Ghost, you won't do that. Are we all right? If I hurt your feelings, then I'm talking about you. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is seeing you have what? Purified your soul and obeying what? The truth. Not part truth, the truth. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, what? Fervently. Why? Being born again. You got to have a change. You got to have a nature change. Because your nature is contrary to God. You were born with a carnal mind. You were born without God. As I said before, please leave me alone in my revelation of redemption. I was lost. My whole being was lost. I want the whole world to know this. My whole being was lost. I was doomed and on my way to hell. But God, by his rich and mercy grace, he come one day and said, hey, let me in. No, the people in the message says, no, he's already in there. You just want to let him out. Forgive me if I am going to shout a little bit more. That is not the truth.
Amen.
You're either born again or you're not.
Yes, sir.
You either have faith in your soul or not.
Amen.
Being born, why we got to do all this if we always was eternal? I know we were in the mind of God. I know we were always were eternal by the foreknowledge of God. But that's God. When we come down here, we come down through a filter called sin. And we can't get back without him coming. We can't get back without him coming to get us. That's redemption. That's not replacement.
I wonder where that come from, but I won't charge you.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed. I'm looking at corruptible seed. I'm looking at what your mom and daddy produced. And if you don't get born again, that will be in a grave.
Right.
And your soul is going to be in hell. Let me drive that home. We can't go up the statue of perfect man without being born again.
Yes,
being born again, not of corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible word of God.
Right.
Not a little beady baby seed that's somewhere laying inside of you. Please. Oh, then the quotas, here they go. Well, you was born with this. You were born with a representation that you were going to come to it. But when you was born from your mom and daddy's womb, you were lost. If William Branham said, I was lost, He said, I used to wash my car on Sunday before I was a Christian. This guy's a prophet. I used to wash my car on Sundays to make sure I didn't go to church and watch all them people go to church. A prophet. He was lost. Right? But he screamed one day, he said, God, forgive me. When he was falling through hell, when he was shot up all the, you know, he was shot ever how many times and his legs were blown off. He said, God, give me one more chance. I want you to listen to me. God's going to give you one more chance. If you don't take it, you're gone. But of incorruptible seed by what? By the word of God. You got to hear the word, which liveth and abideth forever. Listen, take hold of that eternal life. Nothing else will do, folks. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Yes, there is a group of people that is set aside, given an angel at birth, what? To guide you through your life. But you're going to have to make a choice. That angel can't make that choice for you. That angel can't save you. But he knew one day you'd come to it and say, I'm done. Have you ever been there before? If you have not, altar's open. Get to a place and say, I'm done. I'm finished. I don't want to do this no more. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What? To be conformed to the image of his son. That's why Jesus came to die. He died for the whole world, but he knew in his infinite mind. He knew who would and who wouldn't. Therefore, he could place not a seed inside of you, but a word inside of here. Amen, everybody. He put a word right. He put a seed right here. That one day a preacher preached and you responded. You said, that ain't nothing but the truth. So that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom justified, he also glorified. Romans 8, verse 11 says, God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. There's no way he can. Like I said before, if he loved you before the foundation of the world, he still loves you now. And he's going to love you for an eternity. Because he set aside a part of him, agape love. He set aside that part of that theophany. Everybody with me? Because he knew you would, or he knew you wouldn't. And even though he gave somebody like Adolf Hitler 1,000,000 years to repent, he knew Adolf would never come to a place of repentance. So therefore, he could predestine his journey to be the cruel man that he was. But he didn't make him be cruel. To be a just God, he can't make you do anything. Ephesians 1 says, in dispensation of the fullness of times. That's right now. This is our dispensation. This is us. He might gather together one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Why did we need to obtain it if we already had it? I was lost. I was out of the economy of God. I was in another camp. I was in another place. But I had an inheritance. Being predestinated by his foreknowledge, he saw where my inheritance was. The will. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things, what? After the counsel of his own word or will. That we should be to the praise. What? Praise of his glory. Praise God. If he'll hurry up, I'll get me a nap. Most of you don't even wait. That we should be the praise of his glory at first trusting. I'm sorry, Richard. I'm doing it again. And whom also you trusted. Look, after. I didn't trust God when I was a sinner. Did you? That was things I did. I knew God was nowhere to be found. Oh, yeah, he was right there. He was waiting on you, but there's no way God. Listen, he won't dwell in an unclean vessel. Righteousness, holiness, that's God. Were you righteous and holy when you were out in the world? I don't think you were. So listen, that makes my plan of redemption way much better. Is that I was gone. I had no hope. till he called my name. Everybody all right?
Amen.
I'm sorry I didn't mean to go this way, but this is the way we're going. And whom you also trusted. Look, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. You got to come to a place of believing. What does believing do with faith? It puts them together. Faith and believing is together. Because when you have faith, you believe in something. All right, Sister Frieda? You have faith, you believe in something. All right? Look, which is the earnest of our inheritance. See, down through the church ages, it still was an inheritance, an earnest. It was an inheritance. They have eternal life in their soul, but there was no way by the word they were given for each age or the faith they were given for each age for them to come to a body change. Because it had to come to Malachi 4. It had to come to Luke 17:30. It had to come to the end time. That last prophet messenger had to come to draw people out to bring us back to the faith of the fathers. So this, we're not just looking, Brother Bob, we're not looking at the earnest anymore.
Amen.
This is full possession time.
Yes, sir.
Until the redemption of the purchased possession is the praise of not our glory, his glory. Acts 1 verse 4. So he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Now this is Jesus right before he left, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power. Look at that word again. After. Listen, you have no power. Oh, we think we got these great big, I mean, we can do all this. Weakest people I know is the weakest people that are unbelievers. I don't care how big and strong you are. You're an unbeliever, you're an unbeliever. It's for you know the time of season. But you shall receive power after, or dunamis. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Listen, when they were walking around with Jesus, they were powerless. Oh, yeah, God, Jesus said, all right, I'm going to impart this. Go over here and heal the sick, cast out devils. But remember, they couldn't do all that. They come back and said, Lord, well, this was a tough one. We can't do this. He said, all that takes more prayer and more fasting. But he told him, he said, you shall receive power, though, after. Now, take and go over to the book of Acts and take those same people. Interject Paul in there. Take those same people, Peter, James, John, all the different ones. Now, they didn't need Jesus. Listen to me. They didn't need Jesus to be standing there. They needed him to be standing there during his life. Everybody with me? Because the Holy Ghost was not given until Jesus had been glorified or died and resurrected and came back on the day of Pentecost, right? We know that no one had the Holy Ghost until the apostles in the 120 in the upper room. No one had the Holy Ghost in their soul. What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost. It was an anointing. It was not in his soul. Because if it's in your soul, you're born again. You can't be born again until the testator dies. Everybody with me? I believe John 5 says the Holy Ghost had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. In other words, he had to die to release that. That's why they couldn't understand him. But boy, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. So he ascends. He comes back 11 days later. And he goes into the people. And they're like, whoa. Peter said, this is that. He goes right back into Scripture. This is that. And they receive power. Unclean spirits were cast out. They even walked past people in their shadow. Cast out demons. Cloths from Paul. They didn't have a problem casting out demons after Jesus came back inside of them. Everybody all right? Dunamis. Power, an inherent power. It's something you receive after that you're born again. Listen, you're powerless until you have God in your life. Oh, I've got a bank account you wouldn't believe. Yeah, I believe it. A few more turns of the sun, you're going to go, where is that thing? In every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. I say in every age the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, in other words, got the new birth, the teacher heard the word, and that Spirit in them what? Responded.
Yes.
That ain't nothing but the truth. And taught it and revealed it to them. And they were of the group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word, wow, that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Romans 10, verse 9 said, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, not in this thing, but your very soul, the very core of you, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now what is confess? To admit or declare oneself guilt. Listen, there's no confession if you don't have guilt. You got to have guilt.
Amen.
To confess. Actually, pretty simple. Of what one is accused of. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or sister availeth much. The word possess means what? To acquire, to get. Possess ye your soul. Or procure a thing for oneself to possess, to marry a wife. Let's continue on pretty quick. I got to get down to number 13 and we're on number 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now listen, as we're going to talk about right here, look. Statue of perfect man, there's only two elements that controls the human being. That's either doubt or faith, one or the other. You're possessed today. You're either possessed of God or you're possessed of the devil. But I'm so sweet. That person's so sweet. Yeah, the devil's pretty sweet sometimes. You rile him up, though. You get in his face. You'll find out. But let's just be, I mean, why do we need a list? Here's one, two. Either faith or doubt. You don't come to church because you don't believe. Faith or doubt? I'm going to tell you where faith's final resting place is right here. Brother Bob and I were talking this morning. I've been watching Brother Donnie Reagan a couple of services because he's on a series I want to do later after this. And Brother Bob said he's listening to Brother Wayne Lawson, and they're everyone, I mean, hammering on people coming to church. Because this is that final push. If you don't come to church, you're lost. Just say, I'm lost. I'm sorry, I'm lost. Sorry. And it ain't a rule to me. Me and June didn't get up this morning and go, well, where's that say at, June? Does it still say forsake not assembling? Let me see if I can find that. Well, why in the world would you want to look for it? It's been in there since they wrote it. There's only two elements that control the human being. That's either doubt or faith, one or the other. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have and how high you can rise. Now you come to the altar, realize you're a sinner. Whoa, maybe we need to do that. And you're sorry for your sins. Look, you repent of what you've done. And you can stay there and cry for week in and week out. And that will never save you until you believe that you are saved.
Amen.
Then you confess it.
Yes.
Now, can't do nothing for you until you confess it.
Amen.
He is the high priest of what? Your feelings? He's the high priest of your confession. He can do nothing. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Is that right? What you say I've done down here for you, that's what I say to the Father. That, in other words, he said, what I do down here, if you deny me here, I'm going to deny you there. And look, you say, well, I've never denied God. Have you ever done wrong? Now, here he is sitting here to make intercession on my confession. Have we tried that? See, there's things during the week that I do that are not right as a human. What? Surprise! I'm still human. But before I walk out, when they start calling me out, I go over there to that mirror and I look myself in the face and I say, God, though if you want to throw me away, that's fine. Give these people something. Use me. Move me out of the way. You use me and get done what needs to be done. If you want to throw me out of the building, that's fine with me. But help these people. Amen? So I don't go over there to make sure my tie is straight. I do straighten my tie every once in a while when it is crooked. But I look at myself and I say, this is me. This is the man that has sinned during the week. You know, the little stuff. Understand me? You ever do that when you walk through that door right there? Huh? I mean, how many of us bring bad spirits in here? Because your husband and wife or your kids have been yakking with each other coming up the road and or even you yakking with yourself. That you done something wrong or you said something crooked or wrong. Not crooked, but, you know, off kilter. And then you just keep walking. So, well, everything's fine. Brother Wade will pray it out of me. No, I won't. Not unless you confess it. Renewing of your mind. All right. But without faith, look, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that what? He is God. And he's a rewarder. There's the promises. There's that joint heirs. Whatever promises he got in that Bible is yours. You just got to take hold of them. Because you're what? Of them that diligently seek him. Perfect faith. The prophet of God says, look, you can't be saved without faith. Faith is something that you have to believe is there. Like I said before, you take your new birth out and show it to me. No, I show it by my works. Amen. I show it by what I do. All right? Can't physically say, all right, this is my new birth. But I have to believe that God's done it. You have to believe it so much to, you know what? Your faith unites with his. And then it becomes your faith. Add to your faith. This is my eye, the prophet said. God gave it to me. When God gives you the new birth, it's not his anymore. It's yours. But that's what he wanted to do. Give it to you. And faith is something that you have to believe is there. That really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. Now I'm trying to bring faith to you so that you can be ready for a prayer line in the next few minutes. Now faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now look, it's impossible to please God without faith. You can't please him. Why? Because you've got that old doubt, unbelief. God can't stand unbelief. It's not you that don't, he just don't like your unbelief. Now I'm talking about even in the second realm, in the spirit realm. He doesn't like your unbelief in that realm either. And that's why we're working up the statue of perfect man once we get started. But then listen, if that foundation is long, I'm going to preach long on faith. Because we got to have faith and then be born again, all right? When we get up here a little bit, the brother of kindness, I'll say a few words and we'll go home. Love your brother as yourself. That's enough. Love your enemies as yourself. That's hard to do. Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word there is a renewal. Now look, it doesn't say complete demolition and rebuild. Right. Everybody with me? Yeah. It doesn't say complete devastation as the earth is going to be destroyed as people believe, except for us in the message. Know that it's just going to be what? Burn over. Yeah. Your old nature was burnt out. It was burnt off of you, kicked out. God comes in and balkanizes his soul to your soul. Somebody with me. Is that not redemption? Is that not? That's the plan. And I'm happy with it. Leave me alone. But I needed a renovation. As I said before, our house needed a renovation the other day. So Brother Gary comes and renovates our front porch and our back porch. But you know what? There was a big old trash can there. And it was full of trash. How about let's back in the dumpster up to our house and get rid of the trash? Renovation. Complete change for the worse. Oh, for the better. Yeah, June loves her front porch. Brother Gary, she loved that front porch. We ain't gotten to the back porch yet because she loves the front porch. And I do too. I like sitting there and looking out my porch without bugs. June's just so sweet that the bugs are all over her. They don't bother me because I stink. But they get on her and they get to biting her, and now they don't do that, so that's great. But ain't that happy? Complete renovation? You got something going on? You've took the same house? You've took the same house? But you've renovated it. A good coat of paint, not on the outside. Hello, somebody. somebody. I've seen some of that here too, some of that barn paint. Still, it's the same barn. I like what Bob said. He saw a preacher online the other day that this is a denominational preacher. Wow. And I think I'm going to do it if I can find some mannequins. This preacher brings mannequins into his church and dresses them like the world and dresses this one like Christians. World, Christians, separated. Everybody with me? World, Christians. It shows you the difference. We ought not have to, but visual will help. Men look like men. They don't wear pocketbooks and necklaces and high heels and all that other junk. That's the world. That's what the world looks like. We got to be separated. Even though the Bible does tell us to dress different and does tell us to do different, we should be different. The world's going to be destroyed one day. Thank God he destroyed my world back in 1997. And he renovated me, and he's still working in all my rooms. Renovating. Why y'all make me holler for? I'm getting old. Get a headache when I start hollering. For I say that through grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. That's the key, folks. Like I said before, if you get a revelation, it ought to humble you. You get the new birth, it ought to humble you. We go up to the statue of perfect man, really going to humble us. Really going to get where we live. It's going to get into them little inner rooms that we don't open except for ourselves. And we got our little secrets back there. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now watch. I was talking about measure, and I want to read the scripture. I interjected this morning. Ephesians 3, verse 17. I think Aaron kind of preached on this several years ago, maybe a while ago, about the breadth and length and depth and height. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. Amen. You can't get away from faith. It's in every scripture. It's in all through the Old Testament. It's all in the New Testament. And it should be all in this building. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, all right, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To me, that's the statue of perfect man scripture. Length, depth, height. That's it. That's not a flat. That is a flat picture, but pyramids are not flat. Got four sides on it. Our old nature is contrary to God. I've been saying that since we started. Our old nature, listen, it's just contrary to God. And I promise you, it is an effort to get to come to church. It is an effort to get up. Put on your good clothes. Your good right clothes. Not the ones you wear out. No, never mind. Have faith and be born again. I'm getting off of that. Have faith and be born again. Look, that's laying the foundation. That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We got to lay a foundation. And I think we're trying now to get everybody to realize that if you're not on the foundation, you can't go up the pyramid. Amen. If you can have a foundation of sinking sand, or you can have a foundation of, I believe I'll just try to make it on my own. You know what you're going to do? You're going to stand before the white throne judgment on your own. And you're going to have to be judged, the Bible says, by what? By what you do. By your works. Thank God. Amen. He's covered mine. Amen. Confess. Amen. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you, I was reading what Brother Brown was talking about this scripture. This is Jude. It was written 30 years after the new birth on the day of Pentecost. This was written 30 years after that. And look how far they've already. 30 years after. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost fell. No denominational ideas yet. I mean, maybe some ideas, but no churches. No Nicaea 325 AD yet. But in 30 years, they've lost their faith. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was lost, which was once delivered unto the saints for their, what? There are certain men creep in unawares who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That is preachers. I'm going to read you scripture this afternoon because we're going to hone on this a little bit where Jesus stood there and he said, look, you've made my word of none effect by your traditions. That's what Satan dilutes the word of God. He's still doing it. He's doing it in the message. He's doing it in the world. He's diluting it by saying, oh, it's okay. Oh, he didn't really mean this. Like I said before, you can prove to me that Brother Branham was a false prophet. But that Bible tells you what to do. You got to stand before that. You don't have to stand before William Branham. You got to stand before that. Well, he didn't. They was 12 people or 16 people fell off. I don't care. I do not. Listen, if that bothers you, get born again. If that bothers you, that you can't count 16 or 12 or ever how many he had a dream that so many fell off a bridge. Listen, that was in the early 1900s. There was no such thing as labor force, and there was no such thing as OSHA. And there was, then people could have fell down in that concrete. Nobody ever known it. The guy just goes, oops. Bring us another one. Why? There was no record. Now, you couldn't get by with it now. You got cameras, and you got OSHA, and you got all the different things, you know. Count your people, so... That does not shake me. That does not shake you if you have faith. If you have faith in the Word of God, that should not shake you at all. But what if? It doesn't matter. He's took me to this. He's taught me that. He's taught me how to be a better Christian. All right, lost faith. Faith of the fathers. We talked about it last Sunday. The book of Acts was the faith of the fathers. Everybody with me? This was working in their life. Except for that. Everybody with me? Because the headstone was rejected. That's the Son of Man. He was rejected. He went to glory. He came back in the Holy Ghost to build a church. Well, now as he was building the church, Satan gets in and says, we need a pope. We need a bishop. We need to pray to dead saints. We're going to take what Jesus said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We're not going to take that in Acts 2:38, which says the same thing. You see what I mean? Satan has got in there and pulled it, start pulling it apart. So it's a lost faith. So that faith, listen, without even going, starting up the pyramid, Brother Branham had to, listen, let me, hold on to your seat. Everybody grab your seat. Everybody grab it. Brother Branham had to go up that pyramid. Okie dokie then. You can let go now. I didn't want anybody to walk out or fall over. He had to go through that, and he had to come to a position. What did he say? It's been 30 years to preach that one sermon of stature of a perfect man. To get it all together. To get everything. To get him where he was built up. Where he could. He says in there, and I'll read the quote later on when we get into the book. He says, Lord, build me up that I can teach others how to do this. And you say it's not a requirement? And you say it's not, we don't need that? If the prophet of God needed it, I need it. If the prophet of God needed it, you needed it. All right? So now we got to have faith for the time that's needed. And that's what we said down through the church ages. We know the woman that was healed of the blood issue. Brother Brown says the woman came with a perfect faith for that time. Because, see, she was wanting healed. She didn't want, it wasn't that she wanted to get born again. Right? It wasn't that she wanted to go up the statue of a perfect man. It wasn't that she wanted to be a woman preacher. No, she wanted to be healed. Yes. So that's perfect faith for the time. Yes. Notice now, perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. The prophet of God standing there, little old bitty man. I mean, like 5'4", weigh 100 pounds. And here comes this guy, 6'4". Brother Brown said, yeah, he could have picked me up and killed me right there, crushed me. But he didn't even step backwards. He said, Satan, come out of that man. And he said, that man fell at my feet. He said, they had to move him off my feet. Well, that wasn't, he was doing this. He was standing his ground because he had faith for the time. That faith mastered all circumstances. Same way with you and I. You and I got to stand one day and not start stumbling backwards. Stand up. No matter what it is, it masters it. Now just watch. When you believe anything, do anything, and you got faith in what you're doing, no matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. It masters that circumstance. If it's in a room of sickness and the Lord revealed that this certain thing is going to happen, you just speak it and go on. Now, he didn't say I. He said you. You say to this mountain, not the preacher, not the priest, you say to this mountain. Oh, just don't ask any questions. It's already over. Why do we try to explain stuff away? We do. We're humans. We try to explain everything. It's already over. Just keep going. It masters all circumstances. Paul, Daniel, what did they do? They didn't have to explain nothing. Paul didn't have to give them a 30-minute sermon on why the serpent did. He just slung the thing off. Went right back to picking up wood. He was a servant. He's trying to get fire built for what? Them 200 people that were wet. Thank God for a servant like that. Amen. Daniel, the same way. Daniel didn't say, well, now the lions are going. No. The lions just sat down beside of him. Daniel knew by his prophet that he was coming out of captivity in 2 years. See, that's the faith we got to have for a body change. Just like Daniel, when they lowered him down in that, it was, hey, look, from a television commentary. Well, we're here today, and Daniel must have done something wrong, because Daniel is now. Oh, look, folks, they're lowering him down into the. Oh, listen to the lines. You see what I'm talking about? Like today, dramatize it all. But they didn't see what happened, because you know what? A few days later, they had to go back again and say, well, folks, we're going to see bones today. No, they saw a man sitting down there rubbing two cats. Or how many it was. Why? Because faith mastered. Daniel said, I can't die. David said, I cannot die until I sit on the throne. Goliath, doesn't matter. Cancer, heartache, trouble, trials, can't happen until I sit where that promise told me I was going to sit. Amen? You take a promise and say, I'm going to sit right here. Have faith for divine healing. We pray for people. It may be a week. It may be a month. It may take a doctor. It may take an operation. But you just have faith. You just believe. It's like Dad's always said. He said, if I pass away, he said, don't put on my headstone I'm dead. Or that I didn't believe. Amen. Because you know what? The people of the dark ages, they died believing that that was the spirit of their age. And that they come under that messenger they had, and they died for it. You and I. But we got to have rapture and faith. We'll get to that a little bit later. Watch this right here. God's commission. This is 1953. We'll stop right here. It didn't get to number 13. We'll get to it this afternoon. Brother Brown says, I have a great faith to believe that one day before the coming of the Lord, that all our little differences will be settled. Does the Word of God have differences? So I guess it must be that we got to get back to the 100% Word of God, not man's ideas. All right. God may have to let communism, looks like it now, doesn't it? Communism sweep us together, but something will take place that'll make us all one heart and in one accord. If we can't have faith now for healing, how are we going to have rapturing faith? We've got to have faith for the little things first before the great things. So there'll be something that'll cause. That's in God's providence, I do not know. Now, I believe he knew later on. I've seen a demonstration of it recently, because look at the title of that sermon. God commissioning Moses, and he was getting ready to tell the people his new commission. Instead of taking them by the hand, he was going to tell them the secrets of their heart. All right? So he saw that. I want a demonstration, and that's what I want to tell you about. James 1, verse 2. And I'm going to ask you this question, and then we can Musicians, go ahead and come. My brethren, count it all joy. Oh! Come on. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Many temptations. Everybody still believe the Bible's right? Right? Amen? Bible's right. Okay. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into... This is the same James that's writing about this faith and works. This is the same James that's talking about all these other things that we're going to talk about tonight or this afternoon. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith... Now it's yours. It's not God's. It's yours. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There's a question for you right there. Put your faith in what? Musicians, come. Let's stand to our feet. Right here, I'm going to read this, and we'll start right here, or we'll start back again. Faith takes its final resting place on the Word of God. That's where it finds its resting place. You understand? Its resting place is on God's Word. That's where Noah rested. God said so. That settles it. That settles it. So put your faith in the Word of God. Please don't put your faith in a man. Don't put your faith in anything but the Word of God. Don't put your faith in the church. Put your faith in the Word of God. All right? We want to have faith in God because you know what? But now see, we have a church. We have an organism here. We have don't have an organization. We have an organism. We have piano players. We have all these great musicians. We have wonderful ministers. And now we got an extra Sunday school teacher and all these different things. That's an organism. That's the way we work. And we saw that last weekend. We saw all that work. But why did we do it? Did we do it because of Brother Joe? Just for an example, he wasn't even there. But did we do it just... No. We did it because we've been taught well by the Word of God. We've been taught well by the Word of God. Take all the names out. But we've been taught well by the Word of God. We can step in and do. We can back up. We can help this one over here. We can back up. All those different things are done because what's inside of you. So your works expressed your faith. We had faith in what we were doing last weekend. Amen. We had faith for what we were doing today. We had faith to get up and come to work, come to church and come to work and do the things that we need to do here. We come here to worship God. And like I said before, listen, come here to learn. Don't come here to see so-and-so or just because Brother Wade told you to. I hope you don't do that. But come here because you want to learn something from God. And you don't want to just come and say, well, it's this Sunday, and then we got three more Sundays, and then it's next month, and maybe we'll have somebody new that'll come in and preach better to us or something like that. No. Hear from God. Grow. How many of y'all stayed in kindergarten? Nobody. We moved to the first grade. From the first grade to the second grade. And we learned every year a little more. Then some of us went to college. And boy, we really learned stuff then. A lot of bad stuff, but we did learn some stuff. And then like, you know, Anna back there, she's almost Dr. Roberts. You get a degree. I want a degree in the statue of a perfect man. That's what I want a degree in. Because you know what? We'll not have Christ come back as the Son of Man until we do that right there. Till the body is fit together. Right. Till the body is working as an organism. Till everything's working as a unit together. Brotherly love, with charity, godliness, patience, temperance. And then what? Then Brother Brown said, we'll read it several months from now. He comes and caps it off. That's what we want to do. We want him to come and cap it off. We want him to come and cap us off. Individually now, not as a whole. He comes as an individual. And I want him to sit down and seal that thing in, and we're a walking, breathing, prophet of God, instrumentality of God. Let's sing a song. God bless you. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed. Can you say that? wake up in the morning when I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. Sing it to him. You know, Sister Chichi lives in the Philippines, and there are 12 hours difference. So today, right now it's 12 o'clock tonight. So when we go to bed tonight, it'll be morning for them. And the old devil standing there, he's going, they're about ready to go to bed. And then he gets reminded that over in the Philippines, they're getting ready to get up. And all around the world, the bride's laying her head down saying, thank you, God. Keep the devils off of me. Let me have a good night's rest. But there's another group. This alarm clock's going off at 7 o'clock. And they're jumping up and they're putting their feet on the floor and they're saying, I'm blessed. I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or when I lay my head to rest. Satan can't win. It goes all the way around the world. He keeps trying to keep up with us. And he can't keep up with us because God just keeps waking the bride up all the way around the world. Oh, what a God we serve. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest. Sing it to him as you are dismissed. We'll see you at 2 o'clock. Oh, I am blessed. Sing it to him. Oh, I am blessed. Just think about the blessings.